Today's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? It's the Locked On NHL podcast, your Tuesday Eastern Conference edition. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike DeStefano from Locked On Leafs. Mike, I don't know if we're going to be able to call it the Eastern Conference edition of the podcast, though, because we might not have an Eastern Conference this season.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to end up seeing this year, but it does seem more and more likely like we're going to see a Canadian division, which is going to be super duper interesting, I think, and to see what may come of it, what, you know, the remaining U.S. divisions end up realigning to look like. None of this obviously is official, but it's starting to lean that way based on some things that I'm hearing and reading.
So we're going to have a little fun game later in the show. Cosign or no sign? We've each got three questions geared towards Eastern Conference teams between the two of us. Before that, we'll do some playoff scenario stuff. Pierre LeBrun had an interesting piece at The Athletic that we'll dive into a little bit. But let's start with where we are COVID-wise, the border, and how that affects what the format of next season will likely look like, because cases are up. At least I know they are here in the United States. I'd imagine the numbers are up in Canada as well.
Oh, yeah. They're ballooning here as well. Toronto just went into a lockdown themselves. So we're also hitting that lockdown area.
Yep. Here in Buffalo, we're doing the same thing. There are spots where some stuff is still open based on their COVID numbers. But for the most part, everything is getting shut down around here as well. And I mean, the border wasn't even open in the summer when cases had plateaued a little bit or even dipped in some circumstances. So obviously, Mike, like, the border's not reopening anytime soon, which means the league kind of has to do, I think, this Canadian division.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to open anytime soon. And something that was really telling to me last week was that the Raptors were not given the go-ahead, given the green light for them to play in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I believe that pretty much says it just doesn't seem like the government is willing to have that cross-border travel for sports. It just, I guess, not deeming it as necessary travel or essential travel. Therefore, you know, instead of the Buffalo Raptors, like you saw with the Buffalo Blue Jays, we got the Tampa Raptors. So, and I think that honestly was telling, and I did an episode of Locked On Leafs last week, kind of just discussing it a little bit, how I believe that is kind of a precursor to what we're going to see here in the NHL. And I think that all but solidified the fact that we're going to end up seeing an all Canadian division, because I don't think the government is going to really allow all that cross-border travel. The quarantining is something that they're not willing to budge on, and you can't quarantine for 14 days if you're coming just to play a couple of games of hockey or a couple of games of basketball or baseball. You know, you're in, you're out. And it just doesn't seem like that's going to be possible with the numbers spiking as much as they are down in the U.S.
Yeah. And then you've got this labor tension potentially brewing between the NHL and the NHLPA, which is not helping situations either. I saw Nick Kyprios yesterday tweeted that the PA and the league had no dialogue in the weekend for the first time in weeks, and that the league might threaten to push back the start date to February 1st and have a 48-game schedule. And I don't know, like, I was very impressed with the league and the PA when the restart happened, that, you know, like, baseball had all of these issues trying to get going, and the NHL just seemed like they just got it going, like, right away. Like, they're like, all right, we're going to do this, this, and this, and we're good, right? And then everybody agreed, and we were off and running. But this time around, this feels more like a typical NHL, NHLPA negotiation.
Yeah, totally. We gave them all way too much credit back in June for having a swift and quiet and you know, good faith negotiations. It really does seem like the owners just kind of said, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll give you what you want. With a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They left some stuff open for interpretation. And now here we are about to start the next season. Yeah, the owners got a little bit of their money back because they were able to come back and do a playoffs. And now that their regular season's about to start, they're like, hold on a second. This wasn't set in stone. we need to renegotiate a little bit here. And to be honest with you, I think the owners do have a leg to stand on, and they're not asking players to forego salary. They're just asking them to defer them later on into this CBA, into the negotiation. And, you know, when you think about it, technically the players are only entitled to 50% of hockey related revenue. And we all know that technically, I think the salary cap right now at $81.5 million isn't even close to the revenue that they will be entitled to, given everything that's gone on. I just don't see that being the case. And instead of bringing the cap down, what they decided was, well, we're just going to make sure that the escrow is a little bit higher, and you guys can, well, we're going to defer some of your salaries. And so they're just asking, pretty much, instead of having to pay more escrow, they're just saying, well, let's just defer the salaries a little bit down the road. But for whatever reason, the players, well, I guess there's a reason for it. I think they thought they had negotiated a deal in good faith back in June, but you know, the owners going back to the table, and I don't know. It seems like we have we got ourselves a little bit of a hiccup, an issue, and a return to play. But I don't think it's going to be something that is going to result in a lockout. I've heard some people talking about it. I do believe that they'll be able to figure it out. They'll come to an agreement, and we should be able to get a season of hockey. And I don't think this is leading to a lockout, especially a year before we're supposed to have expansion. That's not something that the NHL is going to want to do.
Right. And can they even lock out the players when there is a CBA in place? Like, I thought heard someone saying that they... Okay, go ahead.
No, they can, because I believe within the CBA, obviously, since they had to do it because of a pandemic, there is some sort of clause in there that, you know, all contracts and the season could be nullified if a global pandemic or some sorts is, you know, at foot. Mm-hmm. Like, that type of language is inside the CBA to kind of protect the owners in case something like this were to happen again. And they're just going to kind of use it as leverage to their advantage to basically make the players bend a little bit more than they were.
Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Let's discuss how everything that's going on right now affects what they're going to do. Let's assume, for sake of conversation, also that there will be a season. I think it's safe in assuming there will be. That what is the playoffs going to look like in a shortened season with realigned divisions, probably a Canadian division? And Mike, very interesting piece that Pierre LeBrun wrote. And I think my favorite idea is one of the ideas Pierre wrote about, which is a one through 16 type of tournament, almost like you would see in like a March Madness bracket.
Yeah, that was one of the ideas. And that was something that he said is more of a let's get crazy. I don't think it's something that he expects to happen. But yeah, depending on how the divisions all shake up, I think it's going to be, regardless, it's just going to be top four teams from each division are going to make it. I think they're going to rid the wild card for this season, just because it just makes things a lot easier for everybody. So if it's this 1v16, they're going to have the top four teams from each division. So and then it would be the top seed, whoever has the most points accumulated, versus the 16th seed. So whoever has the least points accumulated, I suppose. And it's just going to be a full league playoff. And so that's something that's really interesting. The thing that he did note, though, was if they're not in a bubble, this becomes really problematic in terms of travel. Because what if you have, you know, a team like Vegas, who gets the number one seed, going up against a team like, let's say, Carolina with a 16th seed? That's a lot of travel, and that's a lot of back and forth during, you know, a first round. It's totally different time zones. And that just doesn't seem like something that the league probably would want to do, but it is an intriguing option. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah. Can I get even more wild than the 1 through 16 thing here? This is something I've wanted to see in sports for a really long time. I know baseball has floated this, but they've never put it to action. I would love to see the NHL do something where the top seed picks their opponent in the first round. Now, given the NHL is usually not, you know, well, actually, should I say they're not the craziest with ideas like that? Because they were the team that, you know, when they realigned, they went to a playoff seeding system that nobody else was doing in sports, and they did the shootout. So maybe I shouldn't say the NHL would not be the one league to do it if someone did. But I think this could be a year where it doesn't have to be that, where you pick your opponent, but get a little, you know, be a little bit experimental. You know, see if you try something on, see if you like it. Maybe you want to implement it in the future. And if not, you move on.
See, I disagree. I don't think the NHL is a very experimental league. I think they're pretty calculated and pretty reserved. I mean, you look at what they've done. Everything that they do is pretty by the book. I would say shootouts is the one thing that they've kind of implemented that has been a big change to the game. And really, the only reason why they added that was pretty much so that they could finish these games. Like that was it. They wanted to have a winner so that they could have, you know, 2 points awarded to a team and make sure that they finished up the game before, you know, within TV time constraints was really the reason for that. I think the most logical playoff format that was laid out here in Pierre's piece, and he agrees that this is probably the most logical way, is to kind of go back to the way it used to be. You do a divisional to the first two rounds. So you have the top four teams in each division. You have the first place team in the division versus the fourth place and the second and third place teams. They go out, they have themselves their playoff series, and then you have your divisional championship in round two. And then from there, you move on to face your conference final championship. And I think that is something that, especially with border travel, you know, the playoffs probably you're looking at starting around, what, end of April, early May, and you're hoping that through the first two rounds, you're starting in about, I guess you could say, if they're hoping that you get to the conference finals by either late May or early June. And by then, hopefully the border restrictions have softened a little bit and we've gotten the disease under control. And from there, you know, they open up the border so that the Canadian teams can start traveling down south and vice versa with the American teams. So I think that is probably going to be the most logical option to do. And let's face it, I believe this is something that the NHL has wanted to do for a while. Remember, they changed the playoff formats. It's very similar and reminiscent to what they're doing now, except instead of it being a wild card spot for the fourth place team, it's instead just going to be four divisional opponents.
Yeah, that does make sense. I wonder about the travel part, actually. Well, if we go back to the season format for a second and not just the playoff format, because the Canadian division, the reason you're doing that is you can't cross the border. So I'd imagine that their schedules are going to be entirely, if not almost entirely, made up of playing each other in Canada. So what's that?
It will be, right? So you got the seven teams, 48 games, and they'll play each other,
right?
You know, anywhere between, you know, five or what would be six or seven games each per team.
Yeah, so what I've wondered is, are they going to do that then in the other divisions to keep it, you know, straight across, keep it even all the way through? Where, you know, like I've seen projections where the Sabres might be in the same conference, or like they'll go into the Metropolitan Division with Boston, and then they'll send Pittsburgh to another division, and maybe someone else. Like there was a weird projection I saw, and like that division the Sabres would be in, would they only play teams then in that division because that's what the Canadian teams have to do, or are they going to then go cross divisional? Like that's something I wonder what the league does as well. I'm not sure that really matters too much in the name of competitive fairness, but
I would think for competitiveness it would just be straight up divisional games, like kind of like, you know, conferences.
College football is doing this.
That's what I was going to say. Like kind of like college football, because they're not playing out of conference this year, right? So I think that might be the way they go. It would probably make the most sense, just because you do want to limit as much travel as possible. I think everyone's on board with that. So and the easiest way to make sure that schedules are fair for everybody is that, you know, you're playing all the same teams, right? Like I don't think it would be too fair if all the Canadian teams had to play each other and then all the U.S. teams got to play, you know, beat up on you know, L.A., San Jose and Arizona, and, you know, these teams that are much worse and just pick up easy points there. Whereas the Canadian division, there are six teams there that are going to be battling for playoff spots and only four of them can make the playoffs. So I just think that it would make most sense if, you know, the six or seven or eight teams within the divisions play each other for those four spots. And that's kind of the way it is for the 2020-2021 season.
We'll be back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast in 1 second. First, you know, day by day, there are several walls that you've got to get through. And for me, that's, you know, getting ready for a show or getting up and having enough energy to do a workout, or you got something around to do housewise. Built Go is really what you want. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages, put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. I am somebody that drinks no sugar energy drinks all the time. I was drinking two a day. Don't Google what those things do to you. those sugarless energy drinks. I'm on to Built Go now. Three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. Visit BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. All right, let's have a little fun here. Co-sign or no sign. This is a game, Mike, that you play on your podcast, and I'm excited to give it a shot here. You got, so three, ready for three questions?
Yeah, so we got three questions here. For those who haven't played, it's quite simple, pretty easy. We got three questions. Basically, we lay out a statement, and the other person has to either co-sign or no-sign the statement. So if you agree, you co-sign. If you disagree, you no-sign. And then you know, explain why and give reasoning as to why you decided to co-sign or no-sign. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to ask you the question first?
I will absolutely go first. And I have been, over the past couple of days, looking at some hockey betting lines, and that's kind of where this question or statement comes from. Artemi Panarin should be the favorite in the East among Eastern Conference players to win the Hart Trophy.
No sign. No sign, no sign, no sign. Joe, I think you're forgetting what show that I predominantly work on, and that is the Locked On Leafs podcast, where we got a guy by the name of Austin Matthews, who I believe is coming into his own this year. I think this guy is going to tear up the league, and if it's a Canadian division, he's going to wreak havoc all over that division. He's going to score a whole bunch of goals, and the NHL is going to have no choice, but to award him the league MVP. So no sign. I think it's going to be my man, AM34 guy.
Real quick, before we get to your first one here, would it surprise you that, maybe it wouldn't surprise you, and maybe you would like these odds, maybe you want to go find a bet on this. He's fourth among Eastern Conference players in terms of odds to win the Hart. Panarin is the most likely, just Eastern Conference players again. You've got McKinnon, McDavid, Drysdale up there. But Panarin's first. Nikita Kucherov is second. Jack Eichel, my boy, is third. And then Matthews is like right there behind Eichel at fourth. Their odds are almost the same. Just a slight difference there. So,
yeah, it makes sense. I think maybe you slide him slightly ahead of Eichel, but Eichel has the beneficiary of, you know,
yeah, if they make the playoffs. Valuable.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, the Leafs are supposed to make the playoffs. They're supposed to be a good team. Matthews just happens to be the best player on that team.
Right.
And, you know, just being in a massive market, if he goes off and has an amazing year, he's going to factor in. But a guy like Jack Eichel, if he's able to lead this team to the playoffs after missing so many years, you know he's going to have to be a focal point for doing that. So I could see Jack Eichel being up there. For much of this past season, I had Eichel as a nominee to be a Hart winner too.
Right. And I think Panarin is kind of that same logic, that like if the Rangers made the playoffs, he's probably the best player on it. And like that would be why he's so high. So I guess that would probably be similar logic to why he's that high.
I think you know the answer to this question that I'm about to ask you, but this is time for you to answer. So question number one, Austin Matthews will win the Rocket Richard Trophy. Co-sign, no sign.
I'm going to go with no sign. I think there are two other guys that are right there that I think I wouldn't be surprised if Matthews does it, but I think Alex Ovechkin is still playing at such a high level that I think it's hard to bet against him doing it, 48 goals in 68 games. And then with David Pastrnak now scoring goals at the rate he is as well, I feel like those would be the first two names to come to my mind for winning the Rocket, but Matthews would be right there at third. So I don't, it's not a very strong no sign, but I think I'm going to go no sign here.
Yeah, I'm co-signing it myself. I believe that Austin Matthews, you look at what happened last year, the fact that they had a goal, a coaching change about 6 weeks into the season, and Mike Babcock kind of held him back a little bit, I think, offensively. You know, wasn't getting played the amount of ice time that I think a superstar like Matthews deserves to be played. And, you know, obviously, if you're not getting all the ice time that you can handle, it's going to affect your numbers. And Austin Matthews is only one goal shy of tying Pastrnak and Ovechkin for the three-way lead of the Rocket. I think one more year under his belt, I could see it happening this season. All right, give me your second one.
All right, the Detroit Red Wings are the only team in the East that have no chance of making the playoffs.
Oh, man. No sign. Oh, no sign. The Ottawa Senators have no chance of making the playoffs.
Okay. Ottawa right now. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just falling for them a little bit because of a couple of nice signings that they made. But you're right. Like, I still don't like their roster overall.
What signings have they made? They got an injury-riddled goaltender in Matt Murray, who I'm not even sure can be a legit true number one goalie. He's only been a tandem, and he lost his job this year to a rookie, Tristan Jarry. So why they paid him $6.25 million is beyond me. Yeah, I guess they did make a pretty nice signing in Evgeny Dadonov, but outside of those... Like, outside of Dadonov, what really did they get? I mean, they got a couple of good rookies, but you're not expecting them to be massive contributors in year one.
No, you're right. It would be some combination of me for Dadonov, and I think Brady Tkachuk could be poised for a big step forward. But I don't want to make too strong a case for Ottawa here because I don't like their roster overall. I just think Detroit is so far and away the worst team in the league right now.
Oh, they are, 100%. Yeah. They're a much better team than Detroit. But when you're talking about... You know, teams who have a shot at the playoffs, you think about within that Canadian division, you've got Toronto, you've got Montreal, you've got Vancouver, you've got Edmonton, you've got Calgary, who had a bunch of additions. To me, one of the best, one of the best off seasons that in the NHL, you know, Winnipeg even, I think, is ahead of them. Like, they're by far and away the worst team in the Canadian division. So
that's a great point. I got to start thinking like they're in that division and not they're playing against in a division with Detroit and Buffalo and Montreal. Like that's a good point. Like the Canadian division, they're definitely the worst.
Yo, 100%. I mean, even you look at if they don't do the Canadian division and they do it regularly, are they better than Boston? No. Are they better than Toronto? No. Are they better than Tampa? No. Are they better than Florida? I don't even think they're better than Florida. So, you know, those are four teams right there. Montreal, actually, Montreal is a much better team than Florida. I would say Montreal is fourth, and then Florida comes in at five. And then I would even put Buffalo there, and they're still very far away from making a playoff push here. So, yeah, I got a no sign. I don't think Ottawa stands a chance. They might as well. Just give them like the 30th overall pick now, and give or the second overall pick now, and give number one to Detroit.
All right, what's your second one here?
All right, my second one for you. It's kind of along the same lines of the question I had asked you before, and I'm glad that you didn't ask me this question because I was like, oh, don't ask it as a follow up because we're gonna get to it in my next one. Alex Ovechkin, 188 goals away from catching the great one, Wayne Gretzky. He does it. Co-sign or no sign?
Oh, I am co-signing on this. I think Ovechkin catches Gretzky. I think he does. I think he, and part of it is I've heard him in multiple interviews now speak on that record is important to him. And he sounds like a guy where if he is, you know, 230 goal seasons away from getting that record and he's in his early 40s, you know, or he's like late stages of his career, that he'll stick around just for it. And I think that there's some motivation there from him to get it and that he is still playing at the level he is. Again, 48 goals last season. I mean, I think he's playing at a high enough level and there's enough motivation there where, and also he's been, you know, very healthy throughout his career. So all of those factors, I think he has a great shot at doing it, and I think he does it.
He's been healthy, but the rest of the world hasn't been. And the fact that, you know, he was cheated of, what, 12 games last year in a shortened season, seems like he's going to be cheated of about 30 to 40 games this season. You know, like that's a lot of games in.
That's true.
I guess it's not really his prime anymore, but a lot of games where he's still a very, very solid goal scorer. Where he had an opportunity, like you think about it, he'll miss at the end of it probably roughly 50 games. And in those 50 games, wouldn't surprise me if he was able to put up, you know, 35 or so goals in those games, maybe a little bit less than that. But, you know, those 35 goals goes a long way, especially as you creep up and once you get over 150, and he's probably going to be into his 40s. I don't know. If it weren't for this pandemic, I probably would feel a lot more comfortable co-signing it. But because of the pandemic and the amount of games that he lost, I don't know, man. 188 is a lot. That is a lot. He would have to basically get, you know, 4 or 5 40-goal seasons in a row.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is you said you were glad that I didn't ask that second. That was going to be my third question to you, actually. Exactly. Is Alex Ovechkin going to get that record? So I guess I have another record that I always think about. This one's not, I think, is hard to answer. I think maybe with there being some doubt on what, maybe this is more of like a what the season is question, but does Patrick Marleau will break Gordie Howe's record this season for most games played in league history with 1,767. He's at 1,723, by the way, so he needs to play in 46 games. So if there's a 48-game season, he's got to play in all but two.
Is he signed somewhere? Did he go back to San Jose?
I'm pretty sure he re-signed in San Jose, yes.
I don't remember if he signed. He may have gone back to San Jose. I mean, he's been pretty healthy in his career, so
he did. He did resign there.
Yeah, and I don't see them like sitting him for any games. So as long as we have a 48-game season this year, he only needs to play in 46 of them. I'll co-sign it. I think that he'll be able to do it. He's, like I said, he's had a pretty clean bill of health so far in his career. I expect that, you know, to keep going here. So I'll co-sign it. Yeah.
I wonder if he hangs him up too. I don't know. I've not heard him talk about that record. Like I heard Ovechkin.
That's actually a really good point there. Like how many of these guys who are getting towards the end of their career might just say, you know what? Especially if they're playing on crap teams like the San Jose Sharks, say, you know what? I just don't need this. I'd rather stay with my family. Yeah. You know, I've had a pretty good career. I'm not going to win a cup here with San Jose. So I think I'm just going to forego it and hang him up. I could see that happening. And if that is the case, obviously he's not going to get there. But
that's a conversation or that's a point that I haven't yet thought of almost at all. Is that when do we start finding out? And I'm sure like we'll have to know when the season's happening first. But at some point, some guys are probably going to opt out. You know, like Tuukka Rask opted out mid-playoffs for the Bruins. Like, does he come back next season with the, you know, he talked about how important his family was to him. And it's not like the environment right now is much better than it was then. So I'm not saying Rask is going to do it again, but guys who are thinking like that, they don't have to come back. Like you could get some opt-outs, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think you totally could get some of those. Who was the defenseman out in Calgary who opted out?
Travis Hamonic in Calgary, and
Hamonic's a free agent, isn't he? Right now, I think he's still out there as a free agent. He hasn't gone anywhere, so maybe that's him saying, "I'm just not going to play this year."
You're right. He is a free agent. Signed. Anton Strahlman of the Panthers also opted out. I think he is still under contract though with Florida. He is. So that's another name. Those are two names to watch. Although Hamonic, you're right, he's not on the team, so maybe it doesn't even matter for him.
Yeah.
So. All right, we'll see. Maybe we'll know more about the upcoming season when we speak next. Me and Mike will be back next Tuesday.
I got a third one for you.
Oh, right, third one. I skipped your third one. My bad. Go ahead.
What are you doing? All right. This one might be a little easy on you, though. Cosign, okay. No sign. Alexis Lafreniere is a lock to win the Calder.
Ooh. a lock to win the Calder. The problem here is I haven't yet thought about rookies in the league upcoming at all. Yeah. And I got to know, like, I got to try to think of, like, who, if he's not going to win it, who is?
I think you can look. For me, I think Kirill Kaprizov.
Yeah, that, I was thinking of him.
Yeah, he could be an opportunity to win it, maybe.
I think, though,
who else? Igor Shesterkin.
But that might be it. Like, those three. I'm looking at, actually, some odds lists right now, and, like, those are the only three. Like, you get to Grigor Denisenko from the Panthers, who, I'm going to be honest, I've never even heard of, and he's fourth in the odds.
He's a good player. He's a young Russian. He'll be a good player. But I don't think this year would be, you know, Gabe Vilardi maybe out in L.A.
Yeah.
In his second season, played 10 games last year, so.
You know what, though? I think, it's funny, by the way, Rangers are the first and second in the odds. I'm going to go Lafreniere, though. I'm going to co-sign. I think that Shesterkin has a very good chance, but I, even though I think he deserves to play, like, a big chunk of their games, they still do have Alex Georgiev. So I wonder if he'll get enough games in to get serious consideration for it. And then Kirill Kaprizov, I got to see him come over first. I got to make sure he's actually going to play in Minnesota, I feel like, before I sign off on that. So I like Lafreniere. That feels like a nice, safe pick for Calder.
Yeah, I'll co-sign it as well. I think all the hype is there for a reason. Like, this kid's going to be phenomenal. He's going to have an opportunity to play alongside some really good players, whether it's Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, you know, even Ryan Strome had a solid campaign last year. He could play with him, Chris Kreider. Like, I like what the Rangers have been able to do in the short turnaround that they had after just a couple years ago, telling their fans that they're going to have just a quick turnaround, take a step back. And I mean, when you luck out, you win a couple lottery picks, Kaapo Kakko last year, Lafreniere this year. Yeah, those rebuilds can turn around pretty quickly. Real quick, though, before we yep. sign off. So for those who don't know, I do a monthly hockey card investing special right here on the Locked On NHL podcast. I did one last weekend with Bert Bouchard, or last week with Bert Bouchard. So you can go check it out. We did our top five young guns for the upcoming Series All right. 1 hockey that dropped last week. And Lafreniere was our number one player to invest in. Obviously, he's the number one guy, number one pick, big rookie to go out and get. How much All right. do you think his rookie card is going for right now?
Man, I have not looked at, like, anything like that in so long.
Well, let me put this in perspective for you. So
yeah,
I was at a hockey card show just this past weekend, and I sold a Jack Eichel for $80 Canadian. What do you think Lafreniere is going for?
Oh, I'm gonna say it's more than that. So I'm gonna go with 110.
I'll also tell you that I sold a Matthews for 240 Canadian. Oh, so what do you think a Lafreniere is going for?
Oh, 240 is Matthews. I feel like it's less than Matthews, though. I don't know why. I'm gonna say less. Okay, so I'll go 200.
You can get this man's hockey card, who has yet to play a game in the NHL, for $350 Canadian.
Holy cow.
How insane is that? This dude literally hasn't played a game in the NHL, and you could get his card for $100 more than Matthews, literally more than Nathan MacKinnon's card right now. It is insane what is going on with this dude's rookie card.
Who are two elite players, by the way. Like, is he going to clear that bar? Because it's a huge bar to clear.
I know, right? So it's just absolutely mind-boggling and fascinating. I'm obviously not buying them at that price. I believe this will go down a lot between now and the end of the season. I think it'll end up hovering in and around the $100 to $150 range. That seems a little more logical for me for that card. But I just wanted to quickly share that, because it's just absolutely mind-blowing what that card is going for right now.
That really is crazy. If you did miss Mike's episode of Hockey Card Investing, be sure to check that out from last Tuesday. And am I missing anything else? Just want to make sure before I wrap here. I think we're good, right?
No, I think we got it. I think we covered it all. There's not that much going on, but, you know, it's a lot of speculation, and hopefully we get a season, and hopefully it comes soon, because I miss hockey. I'm sure you miss it, too. You haven't watched a Sabres game in March.
It's November 24th. This is, like, the time the Sabres are usually the only good.
That's what I was going to say. They go on like a 10-game winning streak in November, and then they fall off. You should be celebrating right now, talking about how they finally turned the corner.
I know.
You've got Carter Hart winning a Vezina.
You're going to skip right through all the good stuff. It's the worst.
Yeah, you can go right to February, where you guys are like, packing in for the season.
Yeah, we're already talking about who we're going to sell at the trade deadline. That's what February is, basically. All right, be sure to follow us on social media. I'm on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. Mike's on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.